The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Poll out today shows Americans wanted to withdraw from Afghanistan, but they disapprove of the way you've handled it. Poll also found that based in part on what's transpired in the last week, the majority of Americans, and forgive me, I'm just the messenger, no longer consider you to be competent, focused, or effective in the job.
I haven't seen that poll.
It's out there from CBS this morning. what would you say to those Americans who no longer believe these
Look. I had a basic decision to make. I either withdraw America from a 20-year war, I either increase the number of forces we keep there and keep that going, or I end the war. And I decided to end the war.
So there's your fake president yesterday responding to a reporter saying, hey, there's a CBS poll. CBS! A CBS poll saying that a majority of Americans think that you're incompetent, that you don't have the focus, that you can't effectively do the job. And there's the reporter calling attention to the way that Joe Biden has evacuated U.S. forces. The forces first, and then leaving all the equipment behind, and then leaving the citizens of America behind as well. And what does he say? Look, I had a choice whether we were going to stay or go, and I decided that we should go. He won't even comment on the way that this has transpired. And we're down to the last week. The deadline, at least judging by what the Taliban is announcing, the deadline is firm. August 31, they said there's going to be some consequences if U.S. forces aren't gone by the end of this month. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. We're thankful, too, for our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, that takes this audio stream into 11 million homes across the United States. But to get to the video stream, the live stream, it's every weekday at 11 a.m. here in Oklahoma, Central Standard Time. To get to that live video stream, you've got to go direct to our website, thetrumpet.com, and you'll see a banner there at the homepage every day around this time so that you're reminded of the fact that we're about to go live. But if you'd like to go to the live stream page where we also have all of these programs posted later as podcasts, just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to all of these shows, or at least all of the most recent shows. On today's program, we've got a lot to get to. A lot of course, this ongoing story with the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, and some of the sights and sounds coming out of Kabul, just painful to watch. We've got a Sky News segment that I'm sure hasn't gotten enough coverage around the world. But people dying outside the airport, suffering. It's been oppressively hot there as well. The heat wave, together with waiting outside, dehydration, and all the problems that come from just large groups of people all gathering in one place. But coming back to what this reporter said at that press conference, there was an NBC poll as well. So these are all mainstream polls. And generally, they favor the communists. We know this particularly in the lead up to elections. But this is from NBC. It says Biden's job ratings decline amid COVID surge, Afghanistan withdrawal. That according to an NBC poll. It says summer of discontent. Biden's overall job approval falls below 50% for the first time. So it's below 50%. And indeed, looking at what's happened over the past 7 months, it's hard to believe it's even just barely under 50%. It seems like down around 30 or 35% would be more accurate. They generally do favor. But leaving that aside, they generally do favor the communists. But if you leave it aside, Boy, for the first time, this poll that the reporter mentioned, the CBS poll, this is Breitbart's coverage of that. It says the majority of Americans no longer believe President Joe Biden is competent in his role as commander-in-chief. They don't believe he's competent. A majority of Americans don't believe their president is competent. You've been hearing that quite a lot on this program in recent weeks. 51% of the respondents said Biden is not competent in his position as president. It's compared to 49% who say that he is. Additionally, the poll found that 52% of the respondents did not feel the president has been focused. So competence, focus. It says here the poll was taken during and after the fall of the now Taliban-controlled Kabul, Afghanistan, when Biden botched the U.S. troops withdrawal from the country. Finally, it says, with that, 53% of the respondents said they disagree with the way Biden withdrew the troops. So Biden wanted them out. Donald Trump wanted them out. But a majority of Americans say, hey, the way that this has transpired, we don't agree with this. And the reporter brings that up. And what does Biden say? He says that, look, I've always said we wanted to withdraw, so I'm doing what we need to do. He won't even talk about the way this has happened. He won't even consider it. Go back to that. This is the extra clip I had at the end, fellas. What Biden said on April 14th, clip 9.
We'll not conduct a hasty rush to the exit. We'll do it responsibly, deliberately, and safely.
It's not going to be hasty. It's going to be responsible. And it's going to be done safe. It's going to be safely carried out. That's what he assured the American people back in the middle of April. And look at the chaos. Look at the people falling from the sky. People running alongside a massive cargo plane as it's taking off on the runway. People being smothered to death outside the barriers surrounding the airport. People passing out, dehydration. You'll see it from that Sky News report here in just a second. There's a lot to get to on this subject. I just want to, as a side note here, refer to a story. This came out, I believe it was Thursday, and I had it in my notes on Friday, but as it often happens, if it's at the end of my news notes, I rarely get to it. I pushed it up because it really is a significant story. The FBI finds scant evidence the U.S. Capitol attack was coordinated. So this just happens to be released by the FBI through their allies in the propaganda media. What, 570 people have been arrested? And now we come to find out that it was just simply a protest that spun out of control, and we now know, too, that a lot of that chaos was brought on by informants from the FBI, from Antifa, that were in those crowds. But here comes this release of this exclusive from Reuters that the FBI doesn't have any evidence that this was a coordinated assault. What had we heard for 6-7 months? That this was an armed insurrection. That this was sedition. This was an attack on the U.S. Capitol. And now the FBI quietly announces, amid all of this chaos with Afghanistan, that, well, we don't really have any evidence that it was an attack. How convenient of this, of them, rather. How convenient it is for them to dump this story right as people are dying around the Kabul airport, as Americans are stranded, trapped. It says here, the FBI has found scant evidence that the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was the result of an organized plot to overturn the presidential election result, according to four current and former law enforcement officials. It says, though federal officials have arrested more than 570 alleged participants, the FBI at this point believes the violence was not centrally coordinated by far-right groups or prominent supporters of then-President Donald Trump. You know what this means? You know what the underlying story is here? It's that the FBI wants to move on now because they don't want people looking into this and discovering that there were more FBI agents responsible for instigating this. What about the committee? What about the committee that Nancy Pelosi set up? That's all they had? One day? Four Capitol Hill police officers sobbing and crying. Adam Kinzinger sobbing and crying. I don't think he's going to be sobbing and crying over this report. He's just going to ignore it and move on. Well, he's on the Sunday shows yesterday talking about Afghanistan. But what about the January 6th insurrection? He was bawling like a little baby during that committee hearing, that farce. Theater, that's all that it was. And now we get this. And now the FBI says, yeah, we're about ready to close the book on this. 570 people arrested, some of them still in jail, waiting for their day in court. And then you have the FBI releasing this information out through Reuters at a time when no one will even notice. You think it's going to change the narrative at all? Of course not. As far as Joe Scarborough and Don Lemon and all of them are concerned, that was an armed insurrection. There was someone from the deep state, a former high official. He tweeted out, here's the Taliban. Here's the Taliban in Afghanistan, you know, flying all their black flags and traveling in their Toyotas and whatever else with their guns, brandishing their weapons. And then he says on the other side, here's the Taliban in the United States. And, of course, it was Trump supporters flying Trump flags and American flags. He says it's the same. And there's quite a lot of people that believe him. There's quite a lot of people that have that same belief, that follow that same narrative. Well, we're already seeing it. We're about to see how the Taliban governs. We're about to see what the Taliban does once we arrive at the August 31 deadline. Quite a few people emailed me. Well, not quite a few. Two or three people emailed me about this segment Friday night on Tucker Carlson's show. He talked about the fake president and how Joe Biden's not really running the country. Where have you heard that before? You heard that here months ago. One viewer said, I just finished watching Tucker's segment, Knives Out for Biden. All I had going through my head while watching was tomorrow's news today, and we know the answers. Tucker Carlson really can have answers to all of his questions if he would just listen to the Trumpet Daily. I went and listened to that segment over the weekend, and I thought it was great. It reaches a large audience. He reaches millions of people. So it has an impact when he's there saying that somebody's behind the scenes, and one of them's Barack Obama. Brad McDonald sent me a cartoon today. It's got Joe Biden. He's the puppet sitting out in front of the curtain. And who's behind the curtain? Who's the one controlling the puppet? That would be Barack Obama. The reporter says, Obama would have never done anything this stupid. Obama's the one behind it. Obama's the one that's giving all of this military hardware to the Taliban. Obama is the one who has surrendered Afghanistan to the Taliban. This is the outcome they wanted, just like Laura Logan said last week. They could change this in a second. It took them 3 weeks to run the Taliban off into the mountains in 2001. 3 weeks. You send in some American troops and say, hey, we're back. We're at least going to be back to get our people out of this nation. But they won't do it. They won't do it. They abandoned the Air Force base in the dark of night. And now they're calling on Delta to come in and take out Americans. This is unbelievable. And then you listen to Joe Biden saying, everything's perfect. It's gone just the way we were expecting. We were expecting the chaos. You noticed in that April 14th clip we just played, where he talked about, hey, it's good. We're not going to retreat too fast. It's going to be orderly. It's going to be organized. It's going to be safe. You notice there he didn't say, and then there's also going to be a lot of chaos. That's what he said last week. He told Stephanopoulos last week, well, of course we expected chaos. It's all playing out exactly the way we thought it would. No wonder people are calling into question his competence. Here's Tucker Carlson from Friday evening, clip 12.
We've learned a lot in the past 5 days. Maybe the most important thing we've learned is that Joe Biden is not capable of running the country. Joe Biden is senile. Saying that out loud is not an attack on Biden. Any decent person feels sorry for him. You watch him gaze vacantly into the middle distance or stumble like a drunk man trying to cross an icy street as he careens through his prepared remarks. There's no joy in watching any of that. It could be any of us someday and probably will be. It's not Joe Biden's fault he can't think clearly. It's an indictment of the people around him.
Propagandists in the media, they too were responsible for covering it up. They knew, that's what Tucker is saying. Everybody knew about it before the election. But that's all right. He served a purpose. He was the front man. Even if he is losing it, his cognitive ability, just tuck him in the basement. We've got plenty of forces behind him that can take care of this job, most notably Barack Obama. Here's clip 13.
In the months before last November's election, Joe Biden's own family knew perfectly well that he was in profound cognitive decline. They were worried about it. They told other people they were worried about it, which is how we know. But they did nothing to stop Biden from running for president. Neither did Ron Klain, who's now the White House chief of staff. Klain is highly familiar with Joe Biden's senility. He works there every day. So does Mike Donlin and Gene Sperling and Susan Rice and the rest of the people making the decisions in this country, very much including Barack Obama. They all know.
They all know. Barack Obama knows. Barack Obama, this is the way he set it up. Biden's the one that he selected. Kamala's the one that he selected. And then when you see them all turn on a dime, like we saw last week, you know it came from higher up than Biden, I mean. He's not the one who's running the country. Listen again to Tucker Carlson from Friday, clip 14.
All we can say for certain at this point is that Joe Biden will not be making any of the big decisions going forward. He's not capable of being the president in crisis. So who will be? We can't say. But it's clear if you watch closely that things are changing very fast in Washington. The people around Biden are moving away from him in ways that are not at all subtle. Why is this happening now? Was it always the plan?
Well, of course it was. He made a lot of the same points we were making last week, but he won't go quite all the way that we did back in November and December because of America Under Attack. Because of the Antiochus prophecy, of course it goes all the way to Barack Obama. Of course it was the plan all along. If you remember following the fraudulent election results from November 3rd, we played this clip. I think this was later in November. This was Obama in an interview, and we've played this a few times in recent months. Listen to this again, clip 15.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, mm-hmm. looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, wow. I'd be fine with that because I found the work fascinating.
And now you've got cartoons out in the public for everyone to see that basically are pointing out exactly what he described there. Yeah, everyone knows. Tucker knows. The viewer is right. Tomorrow's News Today. This is a war between Antiochus and Jeroboam. And Biden is, how many days does he have left? Well, we'll see. But Tucker says there's a lot of important people around Washington in the deep state that are turning on him. Now, you listen to some of the coverage over the weekend, and I mean, even today with the announcement on Pfizer, the drug being approved, and so on. Perhaps the media is still providing him some cover. Brian Stelter seemed to defend the president, the fake president, yesterday. They're all still communists. But what we saw last week just shows, it shows that Biden is disposable. And when it's time to move on, they will move on. Now, you listen to Biden himself. He certainly doesn't sound like a man that's going to resign. They're going to have to remove him because anytime he opens his mouth and talks about Afghanistan, he says, it was exactly the way we thought it would roll out. History is going to look back on this and say it was a brilliant decision. I stand by the decisions I made, even the way that this was carried out. It's just perfect, in other words. Listen to Biden from yesterday, clip two.
My job is to make judgments. My job is to make judgments no one else can or will make. I made them. I'm convinced I'm absolutely correct in not deciding to send more young women and men to war for a war that, in fact, is no longer warranted. I think that history is going to record this was the logical, rational, and right decision to make.
And the American people say, you're incompetent, you don't know what you're doing, you need to get out. But there he is. He stands by it. He stands by his decision, saying it was logical and rational. There was this story that we got last week. Says here, again, some who defend Biden would say that, well, Donald Trump met with the Taliban and he wanted to get out as well. It says here, the Contingency and Crisis Response Bureau, or the CCR, was created during the Trump presidency by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. That was in October of 2020. It was meant to provide aviation, logistics, and medical support capabilities for the department's operational bureaus, thereby enhancing the secretary's ability to protect American citizens overseas in connection with overseas evacuations in the aftermath of a natural or man-made disaster. It says here, the memo in question was signed by Deputy Secretary of State Brian McKeon and approved the discontinuation of the establishment and termination of the Contingency and Crisis Response. So Biden's people got in there and they immediately discontinued this policy that was meant to protect people, protect Americans in foreign countries. In other words, if Donald Trump did it or said it or decreed it or whatever, then we've got to reverse it, pure and simple. We've got to reverse it. And if he wanted to evacuate and stage it in a way where there were red lines along the way, let's just get rid of the red lines and leave the Bagram airfield base in the dark of night. Don't even tell the Afghan security forces that we're leaving. Just abandon our post. If Taliban gets the hardware, so be it. Pretty sure that's not what Donald Trump wanted. Now, whether or not he should have sat down with Taliban, that's a whole separate issue, I suppose. You've heard me say, one base. If you had one base there, like you do in the Gulf states, like you do in South Korea, like you do in Europe, just imagine, to say nothing of the stability it would have maintained in Afghanistan. Just imagine how easy it would be to airlift people out if you want your citizens home. They come to that well-fortified base, Bagram Airfield Base. The Kabul airport just has one runway, and you got people crushing up against the barriers, some of them being smothered to death. So desperate to get out. And they can't even fill up all the planes because there's so much disorganization and chaos. And now you've got the fake president calling in commercial airlines, of all things. American, Delta. Listen to him yesterday. This is clip three.
We've also activated the first stage of what's referred to as the Civil Reserve Air Fleet to help with the onward movement of evacuees from these transit centers. Our military aircraft and others will get them to these centers, but then we're going to get the Civil Reserve Fleet. It's a program that's was designed in the wake of the Berlin airlift after World War II to use commercial aircraft to augment our airlift capacity. This is a voluntary program for our commercial airlines. And we're grateful for those airlines and the U.S. carriers who are supporting us.
I mean, that right there is an admission that this has been a complete and total disaster. In other words, the military that they sent back in to try to fix the problem is not fixing it. So now they're calling in Delta. Here comes Delta. Delta's going to save America. Listen to this next clip just kind of makes you scratch your head. He's talking about this Civil Reserve Air Fleet, and then he says this, clip four.
This effort will only use three or four planes from each of the major carriers, vast fleets of aircraft. So there should be no effect or a minimal effect on commercial air travel.
A minimal effect on commercial air travel here in the United States. That strikes me as about as tone deaf as giving that COVID speech. What was it, last Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday? And then he takes no questions about what's happening in Afghanistan. As if there's Americans around the country that would say, where's my flight? Where's my flight? It's in Afghanistan. We'll bring it back. I've got to get to Boise. Americans want our fellow citizens home. They want them brought home. Take the entire fleet of Delta if you have to. But here they are scrambling. And then it's on a deadline. And Taliban comes out today and says, if you don't get out by August 31, there will be consequences. We're on a countdown, a ticking time bomb. 7 days left. You go back to Friday. I gave my program before he got his other press conference in from Friday. Just outright, demonstrably false statements. Several of them. Even the liberal media going on about it over the weekend. How could he say such a thing? Listen to what he has to say about the international reaction to the way America has carried out this evacuation. This is clip five.
This is about America leading the world, and all our allies have agreed with that.
Everybody agrees with it. Is that true? Listen to this next statement, clip six.
I have seen no question of our credibility from our allies around the world.
No question. Nobody around the world, none of our allies have even questioned this. He says this, that was Friday, and I believe it was Wednesday, when the UK Parliament declared this president to be, they said they have contempt for him because of the dishonorable way that the United States has withdrawn. When does this happen? When does the United Kingdom collectively come together in Parliament and say, basically, they censured Joe Biden? Listen to some of the statements that were made last week in UK's Parliament, clip 11.
Can I just bring him back to the statement by the President of the United States the other day? Does he not agree with me that this took on the terms, really, of a sort of shameful excuse?
The American decision to withdraw wasn't just a mistake. It was an avoidable mistake. From President Trump's flawed deal with the Taliban to President Biden's decision to proceed, and to proceed in such a disastrous way.
A mission conceived and executed in support and defence of America, without American logistics, without US air power, and without American might.
The Biden government has just come in, and without looking at what's going on the ground, has decided to take a unilateral decision, throwing us and everybody else to the fire, and decided to withdraw in a manner that no military person of any rank would perceive fit.
But it was a huge mistake to leave Afghanistan in the way we did and in the time we did. The question is now, what did our Prime Minister say to President Biden to try to dissuade him from his catastrophic course?
So it is no great pleasure I stand to speak at the time of the UK's biggest humiliation since Suez, at the time of the US's biggest humiliation since Saigon. When it was announced they were going, it sent a real message to the Taliban. You're safe, boys. Take every village, take every town, because the American Air Force is not coming after you. So it is frankly shameful that the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, cannot face questions from his own hostile press corps and attacks the Afghan army for cowardice.
But I fear he may now learn the hard way that there is never a good time to allow an illegitimate terror regime to take power.
Our presence in Afghanistan may not have continued indefinitely, but it needed to be handled in the right way. It has not been, and President Biden must be held to account for his actions.
And then President Biden, a day or two later, says, I haven't seen anyone question our credibility. I haven't seen any of our allies around the world question our ability. The Telegraph, I couldn't get to this last week either. Joe Biden's handling of Afghanistan threatens to plunge the UK-US relations to the lowest point in 25 years. 25 years. I won't go through all the quotes. How often does the UK Parliament take action like it did last week? And it hardly got any coverage over here, by the way. It should. There's just so many breaking news stories. You can't even really keep up with it all. Meanwhile, you've got Russia and China celebrating, even as America and Britain. I saw a headline today. Angela Merkel going to Putin for help in Afghanistan. These are America's enemies, just celebrating, cheering. Couldn't be happier. And then yesterday you have to hear Joe Biden talk about, hey, this is, if we were to stay in Afghanistan, then Russia and China would be celebrating because they know that it would be bad for us to get caught up in a quagmire. So as if Russia and China think that America, yeah, they're really doing great with this. They are laughing. They are laughing at the United States of America. They are laughing at the pitiful weakness that's on display. And all these headlines bear that out. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken picked up the phone on Monday to Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi for a discussion on how the two countries could work together to achieve a soft landing for Afghanistan. He was told Beijing was willing, but Washington would need to step back the pressure on its greatest rival, according to the Chinese state media. So here's the Taliban holding America's government hostage. There's China saying, oh, we might be able to help you, but you better back off in these other areas like Taiwan. What happens when Taiwan falls? The United States is not going to do anything. It's like I saw on a tweet, you know, with the people in charge that the United States has right now, the Taliban could march into Manhattan and you wonder if the U.S. would do anything. So much weakness. Isaiah 3 being fulfilled. God said he would take away our military generals. He would take away leadership. He would take away eloquence. And then you add to that the prophecies discussed in America Under Attack. What we've talked about with respect to the Antiochus in the book of Daniel, the Jeroboam in Amos 7, 2 Kings 14, about there being no help for Jeroboam. Here goes the Secretary of State, the fake one at that, to China for help. And you've got other Western nations going to Russia for help. What are some headlines regarding NATO, the greatest debacle that NATO has ever seen. The worst crisis. These are European leaders reacting to this disastrous retreat by the United States. Why this is the, and the U.S. is the one that led the NATO exercises in Afghanistan, of which Britain participated, France participated, Germany participated, and these countries are sending in their commandos to rescue their citizens. And you've got U.S. officials behind the scenes saying, hey, you're kind of making us look bad because we haven't done that. Well, then go do it. We can't. We can't do that. So say the woke military leaders of the United States of America. So much sickness on display. So much weakness. The spirit of surrender is so strong. This is an attack. It's not just an attack from the Taliban abroad. This is an attack from Antiochus at home. Of course Joe Biden's not making the major decisions of the United States of America. That would be Barack Obama. We've been talking about this for months. Outreach to Taliban pays dividends to Putin, says CNN. Putin benefits. China benefits. China still has its embassy open in Kabul. You know why? How about this other headline? Deutsche Welle. Afghanistan, Taliban to reap $1 trillion in mineral wealth. And China's looking at that saying, this is going to be great. Let's keep our embassy open. Let's start working with the Taliban. And let's get into some of the trillions of dollars that are there in mineral wealth. And this is as China, it's gobbling up real estate all over the world. Everything, we just had some chairs delivered to our house. Made in China, said big bold letters. You can't hardly buy anything in America these days without it saying made in China. And then there's the Biden crime family, completely sold out to the Chinese years ago. So if Barack Obama comes along and says it, look, we're going to surrender to Taliban because I say so. And look, you've been getting hundreds of millions over the years from these Chinese communists anyway. So just keep your mouth shut. And so we surrender. And the leaders in Europe are shocked. Never mind what O'Biden says or Joe Obama says. They are stunned at the weakness projected by the United States of America. Listen again to Joe Biden from his press conference Friday. This is clip 7.
But let me be clear. Any American who wants to come home, we will get you home. We have no indication that they haven't been able to get in Kabul through the airport. We've made an agreement with the Taliban thus far. They've allowed them to go through.
No indication that people are having trouble getting to the airport. And here you've got dozens and dozens of reports saying exactly the opposite. That's what he said, though, Friday, after we went to air with our program. A couple hours later, there's what he was saying to the world. Everything's perfect. If you're an American in Afghanistan, you might have seen the clip of that guy who said, yeah, we airlifted 6,000 people out today, including maybe a couple hundred Americans. A couple hundred? That's it? A lot of them can't get to the airport. A lot of them have said this to CNN reporters and such. But there he is saying, everything's fine. This is what the Federalist had to say. Americans trapped in Kabul right now are saying the opposite. A deluge of news reports coming from Afghanistan indicate it's almost impossible to get into the Kabul airport. It's almost impossible. Even for Americans and Afghans with special immigrant visas, there have been reports for days now that some Americans have been beaten at Taliban checkpoints and that, contrary to Biden's claims, showing a U.S. passport doesn't guarantee anyone passage to the airport. He just lied. He just got up during the press conference. The reporters are asking about, hey, people are struggling getting to the airport. We haven't gotten any reports like that. Over the weekend, Sky News, this doesn't necessarily have to do with access to the airports, but it gives you a pretty good sense of just how chaotic and disastrous and how much suffering, too, is going on all along the perimeter of the Kabul airport. Listen to this report from Sky News, clip 10.
This is an emergency now. It's nothing to do with process. They're just trying to save lives.
I need a female medic now. Sit down.
Tens of thousands are trying to get through. At the front, they're being crushed. Paratroopers pulling people from the mayhem. Medics rushing from the next casualty to the next and the next.
Right.
Listen. Need to calm down. Calm down.
Dehydrated and terrified. The soldiers spray the crowd with a hose, anything to cool them down. Men, women, and lots of children.
Please call someone.
And then what we feared, the inevitable. Is this a stabilized withdrawal from Afghanistan? It looks like death to me. In the mayhem, units rush through the crowds to shore up weak points in the evacuation center. Everyone working flat out, trying to stem the tide of an unfolding disaster.
The problem now is not
trying to control the crowds per se. It's the fact that at the front, people are just getting crushed.
And then you see all those images from a few days ago. Mothers lifting up their infants over the razor wire as military personnel retrieve the little baby. People are dehydrated and terrified. Is this a stabilized withdrawal? Is this what Joe Biden said that it would be in April, earlier this year? This is a disaster, and it has been from the beginning. And America does not know what to do. It's like America is paralyzed with fear and inaction. In fact, it's a calculated plot, as we keep saying. It's an attack on America. It's a movement, a satanic movement, a communist movement to bring down the United States of America, to empower America's enemies. It's like I said on Friday, it's like America's doing everything it can do to maximize the victory of the Taliban. 20 years on, a few weeks, and we just ran right over the Taliban. And Time magazine in 2001 said, the last days of the Taliban, you're not going to see them again. You know what Joe Biden said yesterday about Al-Qaeda? Well, listen to it. Clip 8.
What interest do we have in Afghanistan at this point with Al-Qaeda gone? We went and did the mission. You've known my position for a long, long time.
Al-Qaeda, he says, is gone. Not the truth. This is from the Dispatch. The Al-Qaeda men released by the Taliban will supplement the ranks of those who are already there. You may have seen the reports last week. I'm not sure if we talked about it as much here. Those thousands and thousands of prisoners that were set free all across Afghanistan. These Al-Qaeda prisoners. ISIS! There was a story today where ISIS is making a comeback now. And then there's your fake president of the United States of America yesterday saying, Al-Qaeda's gone! Al-Qaeda's gone! I suppose he'd say the same for ISIS. ISIS is gone! The reality is, they're making a resurgence! The forces of evil, the forces of terrorism, they are on the rise. And the forces working behind the puppet, Joe Biden, are empowering them and are quite happy to. Just as I told you last week, it's the way that Barack Obama was from the very beginning, coming in 2009, back up and support and empower the Muslim Brotherhood, back up and support and empower the mullahs in Iran. Give them hundreds of millions of dollars. Welcome them back into the international community. You listen to U.S. officials today, and it's as if Taliban's already in the international community. I mean, I played the clip earlier for you. Joe Biden saying, yeah, it's smooth and easy to get to the airport. You know why? Well, we've been talking to the Taliban. And the Taliban have told us everything's great. Everything's perfect. If the Taliban were asked about the November 3rd election, they would say that was perfect. Of course it was. We love Joe Biden. The CCP loves Joe Biden. Vladimir Putin loves it, the fact that Joe Biden is in office. Because there's a satanic assault on America's standing in the world. And it's coming from that Antiochus. The Antiochus spirit, it's strong in Washington, D.C. Al-Qaeda is likely in Kabul right now, according to two U.S. counterterrorism officials. They point to the large footprint of the Haqqani network, an integral part of the Taliban, inside the Afghan capital. They're right there in Kabul. And Joe Biden is right there in the White House saying, Al-Qaeda is gone. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with, finally, we'll get around to some viewer feedback. You are listening. Here goes my voice. You're listening, there we go, to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to send in some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to order America Under Attack, powerful, powerful little booklet, we keep plugging it. Call our operators today, toll free, no cost, no obligation. If you live in the United States, Canada, the Caribbean, even the phone call free, 1-866-930-3024. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Some feedback from some of our viewers. This one comes from Australia. It says, just wanted to drop a thank you line for the work done on the Trumpet Daily. It truly is the only sane voice during this maddening lockdown here in Brisbane. During the previous three lockdowns, what are we at now? Day 540? Day 530? Just give us 7 days. Give us 15 days to slow the spread. And we'll fix this. During the previous three lockdowns, we've been able to work freely, but this one has impacted us. They are constantly changing the health rules and have stopped what they deem non-essential construction. And for the first time, they have random police checkpoints throughout the city to enforce their rules. It's crazy. Brisbane has had 60 cases in the last week, all of which have been among young people, half in school children, but we have turned the city into a ghost town. 60 cases of the flu, most among young people, and young people aren't even threatened by this. A lot of these young people probably didn't know, even know they were sick. He says, I dug deeper into our stats. 1,886 cases in the last 18 months, of which over 1,400 were from international travelers directed into hotel quarantine. So, we've locked down four times for 340-odd cases, and our seven deaths in Queensland are mostly from the returning international travelers. This is minuscule, the number of people that get it, and the few there be that die. And yet, it's the fourth lockdown that they've entered into. There's just a lot of other things happening right now, but we've definitely been keeping our eye on Australia, and we've been due for a longer segment on that for some time now. For you viewers that listen in or watch down under, be patient with us, because what is happening there is truly frightening. The communists are in control. They too, that nation has been infiltrated. And you've got police officers now taking to the streets in Melbourne. Of course, you've got citizens who are just up in arms. They want to be able to work for a living. They want to be able to continue with their lives. And law enforcement, pepper spraying the crowds, shooting rubber bullets. we're not that far removed from live fire. And you've got these deranged leaders in New Zealand, same thing, insisting on the vaccine, even when there's all these reports of people dropping dead from that. But if there's one case of COVID, that's what some of these people think. We've got to eliminate every single case. We've got to get it to where it's zero cases before we can open things back up again. It is just outrageous to see Israelite leaders who are so drunk on power abuse their people this way. It certainly makes you pray, thy kingdom come. This world needs the government of God. The government of man has failed in every respect. And you look around the world and the standards, they're just different everywhere you look. In Australia, I mean, it's a complete and total crackdown. Even in the UK, you've got maximum capacity at Premier League games now. It actually makes it rather more enjoyable to watch a soccer match now because there's actually people in the stands. But not in Australia. If we hear of one case, you can expect another clampdown. As I say, we'll get into that at a later time. I was supposed to use this time for emails, so let's continue. It says, thank you so much for your daily broadcasts. I so enjoy and learn so much about God's plan for us. Everyone was asking why we would leave so many people behind, and you have hit the exact reason. Obama is in bed with the Taliban. How do you explain it otherwise? Ordinary Americans are just appalled, saying, send in the forces. We've got to get our Americans out of there. But they can't do it. They won't do it. It says here, this is another one. Generally, my wife and I watch the Trumpet Daily on the website during dinner, but now that the harvest is underway in Saskatchewan, my wife watches at home and I watch from the combine at whatever time works. It says the programs are getting stronger, and in some cases, it's a hard message to hear, and I would guess that it's hard to deliver at times also. This world needs God's government. It needs God's government. Please keep up the awesome work. Yes, indeed. We need the government of God. That's a message that comes through every day on this program, even if I don't state it directly. You know this. You see this. All of these prophecies, hundreds of prophecies speaking to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth and the establishment of God's government on this earth. This is why Jesus told us to pray, thy kingdom come. That's the first thing he said to pray for in that prayer outline in Matthew 6. The disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. How should we approach our daily prayers? And of course, people today, in religion even, they just make it out to be this vain, repetitious thing. In fact, Christ was giving us an outline saying, look, have your heart in the work and pray for God's kingdom. Pray for a sense of urgency. Keep your mind on the future. Set your mind on the things above. Pray. Pray earnestly. Pray fervently that God's kingdom would come and that God's kingdom would solve the problems of the world today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. That's all that we have time for on one of the fastest moving hours in broadcasting. Send us some email feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We enjoyed you joining us today. We look forward to another exciting broadcast tomorrow. We'll see you then.